Blog Talk.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe. Hello, everyone. Join us tonight for another hour of Life Sooner style conversation and discussion and learning as we nosh on the current events and trends with a spiritual perspective. You can join in the conversation of our show by calling 646-727-3206. That's 646-727-3206. Or you can go online to the chat area. We'd love to hear from you. So let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight.
Okay. Thank you, Gloria. Hi, this is Robin Misevich. I'm one of the regular members here that just scoots up to the regular dining room table and we can have some kind of wonderful conversations going on. I have a flower shop in Riverside, California called Flowers for You, and we're just wanting to come from a very light and hopefully a positive, uplifting perspective with some of the current events that are happening all over the planet. So we'd love for you to join us. We do have our chat room open. I will be running the switchboard tonight, so anybody wants to come on and ask any kind of questions, we're more than happy to hear what you've got to say, and even if you'd like to get on the air and share with us, we really encourage you to do that. So let's see. I'm with Mr. Jamie. Hey, Mr. Jamie, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. I'm a friend of Robin's from high school. My name is Jamie Trujillo. I have I'm a tattoo artist. I own a shop up in Seattle. It's called Chromo. And I like to think I help people with their psychic armor. It's my usual line.
Okay. That's right. That's right. He's an extraordinary talented artist and does the tattooing extraordinaire. There we go. And we have Miss Gloria, our announcer. Hey, Miss Gloria.
Hi, Robin. It's so great to be here tonight.
Okay. Anything else you want to share about yourself, Miss Gloria?
No. I'm just happy to really be here.
Yeah, really, really be here. I know we're so happy that we're all really, really being here. So again, we wanted to encourage anybody who wants to get in the chat room, just basically go to blogtalkradio.com/transformationcafe, and that'll put you straight into our chat room, and we can go, like I said, we'll be able to put you on the air. Okay, we have a few things we're going to be talking about tonight. I mean, we do have the election going on, and it's already after hours for the polls closed, so I was going to encourage everybody to go ahead and be out there and voting, but hopefully you've already done that, and we can be keeping an eye on that. Maybe we could chat a little bit about that next week once we kind of know what's really happened with everything. And just a kind of reminder of everybody, we have a time change tomorrow this weekend on Sunday morning at 2 o'clock. We will be going back an hour.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's this weekend.
It's
so
this weekend.
At 2 o'clock, you will actually have 1 o'clock. So, you know, it's one of those popular nights at the bar that everybody gets to stay for an extra hour. So there you go. I mean, that's not my big thing,
and fall
but there
back,
you go.
Or is that what it's called, isn't it?
It's fall back and spring forward. So we get an extra
spring
hour
forward,
this
fall
weekend.
Back.
So that'll be kind of a fun thing that we can talk about that. I was, Gloria and I were chatting before the show went live and about that, about, you know, it just doesn't feel right to have it 7 o'clock in the morning and it's still dark outside.
Right.
You know, it just doesn't feel right at all. So how about you, Mr. Jamie? Does that feel really awful for you and just kind of strange?
You know, I always forget that that's what happens, and then kind of bums your body out for a week or two, and I guess you get used to it.
Mm-hmm.
Up here, generally in the dead of winter, when it's the shortest days, the sun goes down at 3:30.
Oh, wow.
And then, you know, even now, it won't come up till 7:30, and then it's going down about 6:30. So it's one of those where when you go to work, it's dark, and when you come home, it's dark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I forget you. You guys are even that much more. Imagine it's just like being in Alaska. Oh, my gosh, you only get 4 hours of light a day or something
right.
like that. Yeah,
right.
That just must be crazy. I mean, you know, you definitely want to be around for sunrise and sunset.
Well, there was I was on the bus today, and there was a little bit of sun coming through the window, so I sat there and basked while I could.
Good. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
I bet that felt good, too, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Was it warm today? We were having kind of a weird a hot heat spell here in California. Being in Riverside, it was almost 100 degrees today. It was just really kind of a different day. Yeah, I was like 97 in Riverside today.
Oh, my gosh. Well, we actually had a nice day and the sun was out, but November 1st, which was yesterday, we had 1.3 inches of rain.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's the wettest November 1st on record.
Wow. So you're getting more rain or less rain?
Today was beautiful. It didn't rain at all. The sun was out, you know. Mm.
Yeah. But, I mean, just in general with the regular patterns of what you guys have, you know, we put normal in quotations, you know,
well,
what that looks like.
Well, they are saying we're going to have a bad winter up here, so I guess
it's going to be a wet winter.
November generally is a rainy month up here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And any kind of precipitation, there it is, that we can get in Southern California, we're always just really looking forward to that. This last season that we had, it was wonderful in the spring this year because it was just so green for so long. And for us, that's just like such a treat. It kind of felt like the hills of California looked like Ireland or something. It was very pretty.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking forward to that going green again. We have the golden hills of California right now. So there you go. But you know what? We've been very blessed. We have not really had any major fires that have happened or even any kind of firestorms ever since we had that. The big problem we had was with the San Diego area. You know, they had those really bad fires a couple of years ago. We've been very, very blessed to just keep it on the low side there. So that's all good. That's all good. So there we go. So a couple things that I wanted to just mention to our listeners is we're going to be we've got a special event that's happening this weekend in the Long Beach area. It's called Leaders Causing Leaders, and it's actually a global movement of just really everybody coming to the forefront. And with the Leaders Causing Leaders is wanting to be focusing on the youth and focusing on the best that we can be bringing for all of us bringing our best gifts to the table and having it really challenging everybody to bring that, being the internal leaders that we are and Leaders Causing Leaders to come forward. So they're calling it the Leadership 2010. And this weekend they're going to be in Long Beach. They've got, I think, over 100 speakers. It's going to be a two-day event. It's going to be at the Long Beach Convention Center. And it's going to start on Saturday morning. I think the keynote speaker is Byron Katie. And if you've never seen Byron Katie, she's just a wonderful woman that really had an awakening of recognizing, of just really challenging her beliefs and the way that she looked at life. And she basically bases a lot of her philosophies on four questions. And the questions are, is it true? Can I really know that it's true? Who would I be without that thought? And then turn it around and you look at that from a perspective of recognizing something within me of what if that were true for me and not necessarily the other person. So I personally worked with her books, I don't know, probably for the last 8 to 10 years. So it's been a very interesting thing, and I'm sure she has a wonderful message that would be great for people to listen to. So just one of the people that will be there. And if you actually go to any of their websites with the Leaders Causing Leaders, there's actually a couple different things that they've got going on with hold on a second. I've got a couple here. I'm going to go ahead and pull up here. One of the websites is called architectsforanewdawn.ning.com, and it's talking about the leadership. It says, be heard, awakening the leader within. Isn't that wonderful? And it's talking about the event that's going to be in Long Beach, and it lists all the different kinds of their leaders and activities and things like that. One thing I really like is I'm going to be there, and I'm going to be actually helping Carolyn Kaufman. She has a program where she actually has all kinds of inspirational arts and crafts and stuff that she does with kids. And I volunteered to help her with the booth and help her with some of the different tables and stuff, the activities that they have with stuff like that, and just helping the kids to be doing some different exercises and things like that. So I'm looking forward to that and being there on a volunteer level. And you can actually sign up if you want to be a volunteer at the Leaders Causing Leaders. There is at least like a half-day commitment, and just kind of let them know what you prefer, but I pretty much have made myself available to just about anything that they need for just services. Because you know that goes, people have different preferences, but the majority of the time I will be on the kids in the kids section and kind of just working with that on a real fun, playful level. So we're looking forward to that. So, again, it's called Leadership 2010, if you wanted to go ahead. And it's an event for change with Long Beach. And one of our regular pals, Al Diaz, is going to be there. Al's going to be doing a couple different presentations. And if you go to his website, you can actually see a couple different things that he's had going on with that, too. So Al will be in Long Beach, which is going to be exciting. I'll have to go over and find him and say hello to him, too. I'm going to go ahead and read a little bit of what they've got going on here about what it says. This is Leaders Causing Leaders, presenting the Leadership 2010. And again, it's November 6th and 7th at the Long Beach Convention Center. And it's really helping people with social entrepreneurship, leadership, positive change, inspiring for holistic change and things like that. And the price is only $5 for kids. And then if you're 14 to 17, it's going to be $25, $65 for students. And a two-day pass, which is pretty much going to cover your whole thing, would be $125. So there's all different kinds of activities and different things you can do for that. So just kind of let you guys know that that's some things that are going to be going on this weekend. And Miss Gloria is actually going to be going there too. Gloria, can you share a little bit about what you're going to be doing over at the convention with the Leaders Causing Leaders?
Yes. Last February, or I think it might have been March, I was invited to attend this. And I signed up for it at the time not knowing what was really going to be happening. I went to the website and they had a couple of pictures, and they said, well, we may have these people speaking. And it was probably what you could fit onto your screen as far as the information that they have. And mm-hmm. I looked at it, you know, more closely about August, and they just have so many speakers and so many events. And I'm really looking forward to listening to a lot of the different people. There are so many people coming from so many different avenues and different areas where they're creating change. They've stepped up, and these are people that are consciously looking to assist as well as enlighten people about what's out there and how to step up and actually start making some change in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really looking forward to networking with a lot of people and to listening to a lot of the people that are already implementing the changes, mm-hmm. and hoping to be able to connect with them as well for the things that I'm looking to do.
There we go. Yeah, and they really, I mean, that's the new energy. That's what's on the planet now, is getting together in small groups and just knowing that, you know, doing it on your own isn't just what it's about anymore. It's having camaraderies and coming together and just everybody bringing their best to the table and really being supportive of one another. What can that look like? There's also was a website I saw this morning where it was a bunch of women entrepreneurs that were getting together, and they were really doing small interviews of things that they learned in their businesses, and helping everybody to come together with a level of camaraderie, just helping everybody to grow their businesses and just to be using all their tools. So that's a wonderful thing, too, is coming together in small networks and things like that. So it's just very exciting. It's very exciting to see what's kind of happening with all that kinds of stuff. So, and I'm too really looking forward to that. Miss Kathy, one of our visitors here at the show, she is going to be hosting a couple that are coming from Australia, and they're all going to be involved with that. They're going to be talking, and I'm not real sure what they're going to be talking about, but that would be interesting too. It's not just a local event; it's pretty much a global event where we've got people coming from all over the world to be a part of this Long Beach event. So it's exciting. So different kinds of stuff that's kind of happening with that. So just something I wanted you guys to know about. And again, if you have any questions on that, you can go to transformationcafe.com, and put any questions you have on that. We can check that on the website. Or if you want to go back onto come back into our queue, we can go ahead and ask questions about that too. So also a reminder for next week, we're going to be having HeartWise book review with Russell Feingold. A couple weeks ago, we were hoping to have him on, and we had some technical difficulties. And he's promised to come back and talk about his book. So it's going to be a very interesting conversation and some help to really come from a place of just connecting to your heart, connecting to yourself in a more intimate way, and really coming from a level of connecting to yourself with really you know, why am I on the planet? What are my purposes, and how can I be helping with the world in just a better way? So we're looking forward to having Russell on the show as well. So, and we can maybe talk to each other and say, okay, how are you doing with that time change? Yeah, you're going and wanting to go to bed earlier or stay up later or whatever, that kind of thing. So that could be very, very fun. We had a couple different other things that I've been looking at the news and seeing what's going on with everything. One thing I've really been liking to see is there's just been a lot of positive stuff of, like, just the small little mini things that I can do every day to be making my life better. And I really liked the idea of something like that. We're all coming from having to downsize, looking at things of being more cost-effective, and sometimes we've got to be cutting out some things in our life that we used to have, not really thinking about it. But I came across a wonderful article that was talking about just the different things that we can do on a regular basis that can help to minimize the fact that you feel like you're actually coming from a smaller place, when actually it's a matter of just simplifying your life. And simplifying is always a great place to come from. So any thoughts on that, Mr. Jamie?
Well, you know, I think about I watch that show Hoarders, and I'm like, wow. But I find it, sometimes your things that you have, they, you know, it gives you a great joy to have them, but then they're like little balls and chains, and you don't know how much stuff you have until you got to pick up and go somewhere, you know.
That's true.
But then I think too, I don't really need anything else myself. I mean, myself personally. You know, you could get overwhelmed, or you just kind of deal with it, I guess.
Right.
In my own, you know, that's just me talking. But
yeah, I was thinking that it would be such a wonderful exercise, because you always hear about these people that, you know, they're going to college and then they go overseas and they stay at these hostels, and they're basically just living out of a backpack.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just really seeing on a level that what the basic things you need every day in your life, and just the level of generosity that people have.
Mm-hmm.
That can really just be in that place of, what do I really need to be comfortable and enjoy where I am and all that, when it comes to just the basic comforts and just basic needs we have. So I think it kind of goes along with that.
True.
So, are you there?
Do me?
Yeah, okay, making sure you're there.
I'm still here.
I have a phone that's so sensitive that sometimes I hear those little bumps, and I'm wondering if I'm like, oh, did I hang somebody up? Because I changed my air a little bit. So I'm glad you're still there. Okay, good. So one thing we're talking about is eating an apple a day. They're saying that an apple a day is such a simple thing, but yet it's so beneficial to the body. And it actually helps you lose 190. It's like you can lose 125 calories a year. I mean, 125 pounds a year if you ate a couple apples a day, because it will help to suppress your appetite in ways that actually is healthier for you. Because you feel full and then you don't eat as much. So there you go.
Apples are good.
An apple a day. I know. And you know what? I also read that it's more stimulating to your body to eat an apple in the morning than to have a cup of coffee. Because of all the different chemical reactions and things that you have, but you actually have to chew the apple. It's not like you can just have like applesauce or something like that. It's all the chemical reactions that happen. Even
what about
the skin
apple juice
and things like that? No, same thing. You got to chew it.
I was just joking.
What if I have real pulpy juice? That doesn't sound too good either. You have this, like, it's like drinking sauce. I'm like, kind of thing. So.
What if you pretended to while you were drinking the juice?
I don't think it would
Never
be
mind.
The same. No.
Okay, I got you.
You got eat. Okay. Another thing they say is to brush your teeth with the other hand. Have you ever heard that? With connecting to your non-dominant hand. And it's actually, there's all this scientific research that they've done about that, you know, your right hand connects to the left brain, and then, you know, your left hand to the right brain. So when you cross over and stuff like that, it actually helps to create new connections with your neurons and with long-term memory, and also helps to change your mood.
Now, is that with a manual toothbrush or a...
Yes, that's a manual toothbrush.
Okay.
Well, that's an important question.
Did you know that since the left-handed people since the left part of the body is controlled by the right side of the brain, and the right side of the body is controlled by the left side, or no, right side of the body is controlled by the left side of the brain, it proves this.
No, you're right.
Left-handed people are in their right mind.
Oh, it sounds like that sounds like it should be a joke, but it's actually true.
Are in their right.
It is a joke. It is true.
That's actually true. That's actually true. And you know what? Do we want to bet that Miss Gloria is a left-handed? Are you left-handed?
I am.
Okay. Well, see, a left-handed person would say that. Okay.
And you know, and also doing the ambidextrous, being ambidextrous with brushing your teeth. You know that applies so many. On so many different levels to anchor things into the brain. It has the left and the right brain connection and the synaptic connections that bridge that area, they so need to be fired. So whether you're utilizing brushing your teeth or learning or looking at how you hear things, just doing things in an ambidextrous fashion just really helps to stimulate that cross on that bridge, which helps your brain to continue to be more active as well.
Yeah, it's a brain-derived neurotrophic factor called the BDNF, which is a protein that encourages the growth of neurons that are linked to the long-term memory and your mood. So if you're doing something like that, you're automatically, you know, it's like creating happy cells. Creating happy cells when you do that. So I wonder what that means if you have somebody else brush your teeth. No, I don't think it's the same. It's probably not the same. Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, when you have somebody else brush your hair, you know, like for guys when a woman shaves their face. That probably would make them happy.
What?
you always see these romantic shows with a girl like shaves the guy's face, and it's supposed to be all romantic. Yeah, it's supposed to be romantic.
He's obviously never had anybody shave his face for him.
He's like, what? I don't think Jamie's ever shaved his beard off. Have you
shaved
your beard?
Did you say a woman shaving her face? Her own face?
No, your face.
Oh, I was like, wow. I missed something somewhere.
It's like true confessions, you know, as we get older. Okay, there we go.
You know, I've been, well, you know, since I was in like junior high, I don't know how old you are, I've always had a little beard and, you know, a little mustache and long sideburns. You know, I don't know, but I've been the same size. So I kind of had a little facial hair for a while, and I shave every day. And I see these guys that don't shave, and they look a little grubby to me, but maybe that's the fashion. So and when I shave every day, my face gets used to the actual, you know, the razor and stuff. These other guys, they get really sensitive skin.
Yeah, yeah. So, but have you ever had a woman shave your face?
No, I've never had anybody else shave me, and I'd also wonder if it was like with a straight razor, because I think that would be kind of really interesting. Yeah, because I don't, you know, that's how they used to do it in the old days, you know, with the razor strop, and you went to the barber and he shaved you.
Yeah. Okay, interesting. So they said that one of these things that activates these BDNFs, which again is those long-term memory cells, is anything that's unexpected, like Gloria was sharing. So like smelling rosemary the first thing in the morning or something like that can activate stuff. So just, you know, doing something a little on the different side. There you go. But if you smell rosemary every day, it wouldn't be the same. So there you go.
Mm-hmm.
It's like cross-training for your brain.
It's what?
Cross-training for your brain.
Cross-training for your brain. There's also some yoga exercises. They actually call them crossovers, where you would actually touch the opposite side of your body. So like you would touch your left hand with your right elbow, things like that. Or you touch your right hand to your left knee. They call that crossovers.
Yeah, it
activates more neuron connections with your body and your brain.
I thought you were going to say something about brain yoga.
Well, it is brain yoga because it's you're doing crossovers.
we did crossovers in dance class and acrobats in the 1960s. So I think
it's probably been going on for a long, long time. And then it's so much the packaging nowadays of somebody saying, oh, this is metaphysical, or oh, this is new age, and you're like, nah, not really, because they've been doing it for, you know, a long, long time. It's like Qigong or Tai Chi or something like that. It's like, this has been going on for 3,000 years. It's not really new, you know.
Well, just like anything, here's some of the, it gets popular and then it's cyclical in nature, and then, you know, people think they rediscovered something, but it's actually been around, and who knows if you just noticed it a different, from a different perspective.
Yeah, actually, I was listening to a conversation with on Sounds True with Tammy Simon, and I really enjoy her insights at the edge. And the current one that's that she's got, it's a free download, which is a great thing, with one of her authors. He's got this program called Qi Walking. And it's all about being connected to the Qi energy, the Tai Chi energy, while you're walking. And he also does one where he's been a long-term runner. He's run for 25 years. And then he was trying to see if he could improve his running skills, because he was going to be doing this ultra marathon. He was going to run 100 miles. Can you imagine? Because he was running marathons already. And this
don't
is
they
like
have
the
those?
Ultra,
and I
ultra
think
marathon.
One of them goes through Death Valley or something.
Probably. I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, these guys, because she was asking that. She goes, well, how long does it take to run an ultra marathon? And he says, it's about 24 hours. Can you imagine being up that long and you're running that long? You do have breaks, because, like, they have break stations where you'd actually stop and you'd eat or drink or whatever.
Or
you know,
rehabilitate.
Your needs, yeah, basically. I know. Yeah. Because he said, you know, when he got into this Qi walking, Qi running, it's a different posture where you're actually your shoulders and your hips are aligned together, and you would be focusing on the core. Your core, you know, everybody's always saying, you know, you want to have a strong core. But he said when you focus on, which is the dantian, you focus on the center, which is right above your belly button, like right there. If you put your hand right above your belly button, that would basically be your core center. And just focus on that and really get a proper posture. And you would be walking in the middle of your feet, not on the ball or the heel. And your energy changes. And he said he went there, and the first instruction he had with his teacher was he was teaching him how to stand differently. And he went out and ran like 5 miles the next day, and he was just amazed. I mean, and he'd been running for 25 years.
When they were giving the description for that, did he also include the part about the if you were to take in the crotch area between your legs, about halfway, whether you're male or female, about halfway through, through your thighs, you also need to be mindful of that space while you're focusing on the dantian. And it's almost as if you're constricting that space.
Right. Because that's like in Kundalini yoga, they basically would have that as an area with the sphincter muscles that you would tighten, control those that level of contraction. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's right before the sphincter.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, it's not the actual sphincter muscles. It's right prior to that. It's I don't want to get too technical on the radio. But
yeah, I know.
Open.
Yeah. Well, heck, we've been talking about shaving. Why not? You know. Okay. No, anyway.
Okay.
But just very interesting on the whole thing. So I'm actually going to get that program. So I'm sure I'm going to have more to share about the Qi walking, because it just sounded really interesting. And Jamie and I have both talked, I think, on air about the whole sciatic issue sometimes. And
right.
I really, yeah, and since I've been listening to that interview, and he actually has an exercise that you can do from that about just being more mindful about your alignment and walking from the middle of your foot as opposed to either the ball or the heel, I've noticed that my sciatic hasn't been really talking to me as much.
Definitely alignment there. There's something there.
Yeah, and you know, there's just so much to having a strong core and having, you know, all those longer, stronger, thicker muscles supporting the body. It just makes a lot of sense.
Yep, yes.
It just makes a lot of sense, so... So another small change that can get a real big result is drinking filtered coffee. I think everybody drinks filtered coffee, don't they? I don't really drink coffee that hasn't been filtered.
Depends on how filtered, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's a growing body of evidence linked to unfiltered coffee that has higher levels of the LDL, which is harder for in your cholesterol.
Mm.
So when you make sure to have filtered coffee, it helps. It gets the oils and stuff off the coffee beans. And because they're saying it with some espresso machines and things like that they don't use filters.
So you're saying my Moroccan coffee is out the door now?
Yeah. It's still just the surface oil, so it's an issue about the surface oil.
You know what? I think that there are so few things in life that I really indulge in. I don't think I'm going to give that one up because I don't have
often. Yeah, I was like, you know, and I mean, the bottom line is you look at that and say, well, how do I feel when I have it and when I don't have it? You know, because I think our bodies are so subtle, and if we listen to that, we really can learn a lot.
Yeah. The Turkish coffee is the best.
It sounds good.
Yeah. Turkish coffee. I've never had Turkish coffee.
It's not like
a
real
plain,
cup.
Or do you put anything in it?
No, it's
do you like shoot it or you sip it, right?
Well, when you have Turkish coffee, it's like having a triple espresso.
Wow. Okay.
It's so awesome.
Hey, you know, they were talking about these energy drinks, and there was one called Four Loco or Loco 4 that was getting a lot of exposure because apparently it's like one can is like six beers and four cups of coffee, and it has caffeine and alcohol. So you are drinking or whoever is drinking, and they're not really realizing that. They are getting as smashed as they are until the caffeine wears off and then it hits them. They had a report up here with a bunch of kids at a party. They thought everybody had been drugged. But it was these energy drinks. And, you know, people have been mixing, Red Bull and vodka and this and that. But
yeah. Well, you're doing a suppressant
we're going to take them off the shelves or try to stop the production or outlaw them or something in California there.
You know, there's two things I'd like to say. One is I had a cousin who had that energy drink, and he was traveling from Georgia up to some other state, or from Florida through Georgia and up, and they ended up having to take him to the hospital because it caused a heart attack, and he was in his 30s.
Mm-hmm.
What is that? Because they don't really want, they want the popularity and it's kind of like they have these crazy flavors, but people are getting so smashed they don't figure their bodies are themselves.
And then there's the second one out that I was having a conversation with someone the other day, and I didn't know it was out there, but apparently they have combined the energy drink with alcohol now.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a good combination.
Yeah, that's what Jamie was saying, that they had had a party where the kids were doing that, and then they were really contemplating to take it off the shelves because
such
a dangerous combination.
If you want to get smashed really quick, you drink a couple of these things, and it's no problem.
Right.
But all the kids
and they don't know that they're drunk because they're still buzzing.
Because of the caffeine,
and so then
right.
They end up getting alcohol poisoning.
Wow.
Right.
Can you imagine your body just doesn't know what to do because it's getting a stimulant and a depressant at the same time.
Well, it kind of tricks it, I imagine.
It's no wonder that these kids are getting heart attacks because it's got this double message happening in the body at the same time.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, that's fine. That's fine.
It's difficult on the show to know when to talk.
So Moroccan coffee, and Miss Gloria is not going to give it up. So you go, Gloria.
Right. As long as it gets your heart pumping there, right?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's all good, yeah. Well, we all have our own little vices in life, that's for sure. Every once in a while, I have to go get a caramel macchiato, you know. It's just so good. Yeah, those
and
things are yummy.
And it would be different if we did it all the time, but, you know.
Right.
I mean, I have my two little cups of coffee in the morning, and then I'm pretty set. I may have another little thing in the afternoon, but I don't drink the energy drinks. I don't drink sodas. You know, I drink milk or water or coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now they're saying if you're dragging, since we're talking about things in the afternoon here, like I need my little pick me up. They're saying to have a few having some walnuts.
Oh, walnuts, right?
Have you heard of that?
I've heard of that, yeah. Like protein,
yeah,
because
it's actually supposed to help with, it helps with the it's a good fat that's good for your liver.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're dragging in the afternoon, they're saying that your unusual suspect is going to be your liver because it's not getting a certain amount of balance. It says that increasing their odds for liver inflammation and putting themselves on a path toward cirrhosis is the fact that they don't drink enough water and that they're not getting the different kinds of fatty acids you can get from, say, with walnuts. So there you go. Have yourself
interested.
Replace that junk food with some fruit and a handful of walnuts. And like Trader Joe's, you can get a pretty good deal on raw walnuts, and that's usually what I do. I usually have them. I keep them in my car because that's usually when I figure out it by the middle of the afternoon. I'm like, oh, wow, I need something. So there you go.
You're always very good about that.
Well, not always, but actually, you get kind of lazy once in a while, and you don't necessarily have it, but I've really found that I always usually have some kind of a little bag of nuts and stuff with me because it's just smart. Because every once in a while, if you can catch yourself before you really get hungry, it really helps your energy to stay in just a better place.
Sometimes you feel like a nut.
Sometimes you don't. Enjoy that nut.
Don't.
That's right. And now they have the dark chocolate mounds, which is delicious. Yes. And you know, dark chocolate, good for you.
I'm a mounds person. I don't think I'm an almond joy person.
Oh, really? Can you have mounds nowadays with you? We're having to watch your cholesterol? I mean,
diabetes? If I did, I would just have one and probably be like a treat, you know. Yeah, speaking of what, we just got over Halloween. And
I know.
Not
anybody have any wonderful Halloween stories?
I didn't go overboard.
So what did you do for Halloween, Jamie?
Well, we didn't do anything. We just kind of stuck around here.
Yeah, that sounds everybody
I've talked
to, that's what they've done, so there you go.
Kids, there aren't no kids trick-or-treating in the neighborhood, so if you do buy any candy, you're going to eat it.
Yeah, so don't even go there. You go.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah. How about you, Miss Glory, did you do anything for Halloween?
I've been sitting in front of the computer for the last couple of weeks working on various projects, and so I didn't do anything special, but I did help my son get ready. And
what was he for Halloween?
Well, he was a couple of things. At one time during the day, he became a nerd, and he was running track. Came home, he was wearing a white dress shirt with a bow tie and a pair of black shorts, and he had the glasses with the rubber band or the Band-Aid around the center, and he had a pocket protector and suspenders.
That's cool.
And I guess he went and ran track. Like half of his track practice was run that way.
That's pretty funny, actually.
How fun!
And,
that's very fun.
And then in the evening, he had gone out and gotten a leather jacket at a thrift store. We took the sleeves off, and he painted the back with a big lightning bolt, a couple of different colors. And then he took, and I have to say that I'm really pleased with the way that the hair industry has really stepped up. He had gels that had color, but they had tea tree oil in them, and they had aloe gel, and, you know, things to really protect the hair and make it easy for these things to come out of the hair later.
Interesting.
He pretty much has short hair based on, you know, one, his own preference, and I guess it just helps him feel more comfortable while he's doing his athletics. And he took his hair and he used the gel and he created kind of like a mohawk look. And so he had a blue stripe on his hair across the mohawk, and then he used silver on either side. And then he kind of feathered it between blue and silver for the back of the head and in the back. And we got online. He got online and pulled up some pictures of tattoos that people had. And we made them large enough, and we created a template. And so we were using marking pen and designing his tattoos. So he had He had like a really large Celtic-looking design, or Maori. It's M-A-O-R-I out of New Zealand, the Maori. They're Maori. It went from the shoulder to the elbow, and then he had a kind of like a Celtic cross on the other arm, and then we did a skull and crossbones with a top hat for his chest. So he went up looking like a punk rocker type of person. It was like, yeah, I smashed my guitar. And, you know, the groupies, they took off with my belt. I have no idea where it went.
How fun. Well, my daughter Kate went What did Kate do? Well, she could decide if she wanted to be a belly dancer or and there's this anime character that she likes to do. But she'd already gone to the anime convention earlier this year, so she had this pull-out costume, so she wore her anime costume. But she went to one of those trunk and treats, and I didn't realize it, but some of these people decorate their like SUVs, the whole back of it. And so she said one of them was really cool. The lady had taken a table and had it to where part of the table was out of the SUV where she was handing out the candy, and the rest of it was like she had dressed herself up like she was Alice in Wonderland. And so the whole part of the table that was inside the SUV, she decorated the whole inside of it like it was an Alice in Wonderland thing, and there was a tea party inside of her SUV.
Wow.
I know. That's what I said. I'm like, shoot, I go out just to take
that. Wow.
I know. And then this other guy, he made it look like a cave or something, and he had a werewolf mask on with the hands, and so he'd reach out and try to get the kids if they wanted to come and get the candy.
Well, you got to work for that.
Yeah, yeah. And so one of the kids that Katie was with went up and he put his hand out like he was going to shake the guy's hand. He goes, "How do you do, Mr. Wolf? Can I have some candy?" And of course the guy was like, "Yeah, I have some candy. Okay, I can't scare you. Whatever." He's trying to be super polite, so it's pretty interesting. So there you go. Some just fun.
So did you have any trick or treaters at all?
I didn't have any either.
None whatsoever,
you know,
right?
We didn't have any candy, and we kept the lights off and just kind of hung out.
You kept the lights off, right? Oh, yeah, okay.
Right, you know, and it was we had gone to go get some pizza, and I thought, well, we better hurry up before it gets dark because they're probably going to get busy, and they're all looking at me like, are you crazy? There's no way we're even going to get anything because once it gets dark, everybody, you know, has got their trick-or-treaters. We're not going to be busy.
Right.
Yeah, I just didn't think of it that
way.
Remember
when like you were in the first three grades and it was Halloween and everybody would come to school in a costume and you could go and have like a little parade of going through
the
different
classes. Yeah, you know what? I think they still do that. I think they still have their parades and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But you know what's interesting is I know even when my daughters were in school, they wouldn't let them come in costume. They could get dressed there, but they didn't want them walking back and forth in costumes. Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. And when I went to the bank this last week, it said that you weren't allowed to go in the bank unless you took off your mask.
Oh, right.
I saw that. I started laughing and I'm like, well, yeah, let's hope you can't get into the bank with your mask on. That's just kind of funny. You're like, what? Okay. So, you know, there you go. It's just what is the world coming to when you can't go to the bank with your mask on? I don't know. These banks, now that we've had the stock market crisis, they won't let you take it. You know, you can't have your mask and go into the bank. What are you going to do? I know. It's just so crazy. So another one of the small changes that have big results is, believe it or not, they've got this thing on chewing gum. And it says the jury is still out on whether gum stimulates the appetite, but it seems to improve the thinking process. It says recent research recently reported in the Journal of Neuroscience Letters said that chewing gum activates areas of your brain that improves both concentration and memory. Isn't that interesting? I thought it was just because you needed to, have fresh breath.
And here my ex-husband used to just tell me it looked like people were chewing their cud.
I know. And just we were talking about an apple before about the chewing that activates areas of the brain that involves concentration and memory. So an apple a day,
right.
You're eating your for concentration and memory. So there you go. So something going on with that. So that's just kind of an interesting go way out and do a Paisley thing, come back to an apple.
Do you have a particular apple you like, or is that just kind
I like
of
Fuji's.
Say it?
Fuji's one of my favorites. I like the Fuji.
In Washington, there's over 100 apples or different types of apples grown. And it's it's like the biggest export here, or the biggest moneymakers, apples. And it's been like generations and generations, and they've interbred these apples, and these guys that are apple specialists. I don't know, I'm just throwing that in.
Well, and I can remember when I went up to Seattle, we had gone and actually taken a boat trip in the Puget Sound area, and there was coal storage containers that were right there off of where a lot of the ships come in to basically do the changeover with their trailers and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they were showing, they were pointing out three or four different coal storage buildings that were, like, pretty big. And they said,
mm-hmm.
oh, yeah, a lot of the Washington apples are there waiting to basically go out to the markets and things like that. And they said they'll keep them cold for months because they'll
right.
just take good, because they keep it right above freezing and they just get dormant right there.
And
so
apples, some apples are really good and some are tart and some are really sweet and you're going to love the juice in one. And some of them are
mm-hmm.
the size of grapefruits and there's little apples and different kind of textures and, you know, qualities. It's amazing.
It was interesting because actually Gloria had an apple that it just really wanted to grow. Huh, Gloria? She did. She had this apple. Yeah, and it just all of a sudden wanted to sprout out, and bless her little heart, she was just like, well, I have to have this, help this apple to just turn into a tree.
Yeah, I couldn't deny it. I couldn't
yeah.
deny it its opportunity.
Yeah. Is it still growing?
Yeah. I have two of them that are
cool.
still hanging in there. I had a serious attack of mold, or it was just awful down here. And I lost all of my squash plants, and I had about 8 apple seeds that had sprouted and were growing and doing well, and I'm down to 2. And it's really amazing to watch them. At one point, I thought, I should just go ahead and, you know, why even bother doing this? And I thought, you know what? Why should I deny something that wants to grow my best efforts?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Helping it along. So I've been working with various treatments to help control the mold process. And I think I hate to say it, just in case I'm tempting fate, but I think we're maybe coming to that point where we're clear of it.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice? Well, you're going to put them in pots, right, and have them outside?
Well, I put them outside today, and I don't know that it helped it very much.
Uh-huh.
Actually, I think that it may have...
Probably misses you.
They didn't look like the heat or the sun did them any good. So
mm-hmm.
I've had them in a window where they've been getting sunlight, so I'm just going to leave them inside and make sure they're watered. And
mm-hmm. Well, and
I'm
was telling her that, you know, we have, in Southern California over in the Inland Empire area, there's a place called Oak Glen, which is up in the between Redlands and Yucaipa area. And they basically have that's one of the local areas where they grow a lot of different kinds of apples. And I had gone up there one time to an apple lecture, and they said that you can't get an apple, the same apple that that starts sprouting like what Gloria has. If she planted it, she's not going to get the same apple.
Right.
Because it's like a mother, it's like the mother branch. So they actually graft different, you can literally have all different kinds. Every branch could be a different kind of apple. And you graft these different apples onto an apple tree, and it basically it just becomes like a mother plant to be able to sustain all the different varieties. I just thought that was really cool.
Hey, do you really think there was a Johnny Appleseed somewhere?
There was a Johnny Appleseed. There really was.
Right.
Mm-hmm. There really was a Johnny Appleseed in that. And you know
what?
Was
that like in the Midwest, though?
It was more like West Virginia, in the Virginia
oh.
area. Yeah, it was back in that area because it was really close to the colonial times. And actually, he helped to propagate the first alcohol in America.
Oh.
Because apples, the stock apple, before they
right.
learned about the grafting and all that kinds of stuff, they made it into apple cider that was hard apple cider. So it was the first
right.
alcohol
hard
of,
cider,
of,
right.
of America. Yeah,
right.
yeah.
Right.
So... I had one time I was visiting my my aunt and uncle, and they had apple trees, and they would always make their own apple cider. And
ooh.
I'd gone down to the cellar to grab myself some apple cider when I was visiting.
In the cellar, you had
gotten...
to snort.
Huh?
So, go ahead.
Okay, but anyway, it had gotten hard, and I didn't know it, and I'd never had hard apple cider before.
Ooh,
oh
really?
My gosh, it was delicious, and it kicked my butt. Let me tell you,
did
I'm
it,
like, ooh,
did
this stuff
up?
Is strong. Yes, it did light me up. So there you go. Yeah. They were laughing because I had like a cup and a half. Yeah, it was just, it's just like it was in a plastic, you know, apple, like what you'd normally like apple juice. And they kept it in their cellar because their cellar always stayed nice and cool.
Wow.
So there you go. I've had the experience of hard apple cider, and it's very good. It's very delicious. There you go. And it will surprise you. So that's good. Same thing with plum wine. I when I was studying Ikebana, my teacher, she made her own plum wine. She actually kept it in her cellar too. So she showed me the fine art of making plum wine, which is very interesting on its own too. So very similar processes that they do with apples, the way they do it with plums in Japan. It's interesting.
I had an aunt who did it with strawberries. We had strawberry wine.
Ooh, that sounds good. I've never had strawberry wine.
Yeah, it was interesting.
That sounds very delicious. There you go.
I had some Boone's Farm in high school, I think. Was it strawberry hill?
Is that kind of like Ripple? I think that's like Ripple. I don't know.
No. Strawberry Hill. There was apple something too. Boone's Farm. But that's you know.
The true conventions. There we go. We got true conventions now. Okay.
If we made watermelon wine, we could do the watermelon crawl on that country western.
Yeah, really, huh? There you go. So, my quote for the day. You guys ready for quote for a day?
I'm ready.
We are all in favor of dreaming big, but sometimes big dreams start with the tiniest seeds of an idea. You take a breath, you change your word, you shift your weight, you think small, really small. In a world of grand ideas and enormous appetites and huge plans, here's hoping that the smallest things in life give you the biggest joys. Isn't that nice? There you go. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's like hugging your puppy and telling you, and knowing that he loves you just because it's you. I was just looking at that. Some of the wonderful things about dogs. They're so great. They're, you know, having a pet and having them just love you because it's you. That's such a wonderful gift. So there you go. It's all good. So.
Especially if they don't bite you.
Yeah. Well, you know.
You gotta train. I was joking.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Sometimes they know better than you. You know.
Now, there's somebody in our building that had a dog for a while, and then I heard that it passed. And she got a puppy, kind of the same type. And he's so cute, but he's in that stage where he likes to bite, and he's got little sharp teeth. So I guess you kind of pick him. He's so cute, though. Mm.
Mm-hmm. One time I was going to the grocery store and somebody had their car in the shade and they left a couple of their windows open just enough to have the breeze go through, and they had gotten a brand new little puppy, and this puppy was just so happy to see anybody go by the car, like, let me out. You're going to let me out, right?
Right.
So I sat there for the longest time. I'm sitting here there talking to him, you know, because I'm like, oh, hi, look at you, you know, and then the owner came out. She's looking at me like, hey, you're trying to take my dog or what?
Kind of, yeah, sure.
Yeah, okay. Here we go. Okay, lady, go get your groceries. It's okay. And I'm like,
sometimes walking down Broadway, we'll see the people with their pets, but sometimes they'll just like tie them up like a horse outside somewhere, and then they'll do their shopping. It's like, you got to keep an eye on this kind of thing.
Yes,
you never
do.
Know with
yes,
people, you know. Yeah.
I know. I couldn't like walk my dog and then go in to get coffee, thinking that my dog would still be there.
Yeah, I'd be sitting there looking for you. Hmm.
Yeah, well, you know, you get some people. Some dogs are just so great. I mean, I had a dog once that she was more human than dog. She was so good at, and she really was. She was a mutt that I had gotten from the Humane Society, and she was kind of like a cockapoo, but she had a couple other breeds with her. I'm not sure exactly what her whole makeup was, but if she didn't like somebody, I knew not to like them, because she was such a good judge of character. I used to actually have her come in at my flower shop, and I'd have a new sales guys come in, and she wouldn't like them. I wouldn't deal with the guy.
Mm.
And they're like, you know, your dog, it's just your dog. And I go, if she don't like you, I don't like you. And they're looking at me like, okay. But you know what? I'm sure that saved me a lot of heartache in the long run. So there you go.
Right.
That's all good. Yeah, it's all good. How about you, Gloria? Have you had any just real special animals?
All of my animals have been special.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually had a dog, when you were talking about dogs not liking, it brought to mind a dog that I had that he was a quiche hound,
I don't know if you're familiar with those. They look kind of like a small husky. And they have webbed feet, and they get nice and furry, and you have to, there's a lot of maintenance when they start to get their spring coat and they shed. But this particular dog was such a love, and he would, he had a habit that if he liked you, I mean, we would be sitting watching television, and the next thing you know, the dog is standing in front of us, parallel to us, perpendicular, not facing the same direction. And you would see that he would take his back leg and hook it over your foot if you had your legs crossed. And I never really thought too much about it, and we had a guest come over, and he decided that he liked this friend of ours. And so we were all sitting on the couch, and the guy had his legs crossed. The dog came over, hiked his leg, and hooked it up on his foot. The guy thought he was going to do his business on him.
He's going to get all wet. He's going to get a special treat. Okay, there we go.
Yeah, it was very funny.
He's like, wow, I like you. Okay.
Well,
he was having one of those comedy shows where the dog does it, and everybody's just like, oh, sorry.
Toby got a goldfish when he was in second grade, and the fish, I think the fish died finally. Toby moved away, and he wasn't living with me when he was in sixth grade, and the fish died when he was in sixth grade. And it was really kind of traumatic for me, because I would go up, we would hand feed. This fish was just a regular goldfish, which is, I found out that they're carp. They're basically part of a koi family. And so however big the container is how big the fish will get. And the fish continues to get big, which means you have to get a bigger container or lose the fish. So the fish is constantly growing. So this fish that started out probably an inch long, I would put my hand, I would come home, he would greet me like a puppy dog. And I would put my hand in the fish tank, and he would swim off and sit in my hand.
Oh, how neat.
I would pet this fish, you know, and feed him with those large pellets. And it was really traumatic for me when he finally did die.
I bet, because he was just his friend.
Right.
Yeah, and I talked to Toby, and we decided that I would take the fish to a local estuary that also it was fresh water, but it fed out into the ocean. And so I went there, and I released him as a dead body into this water. But it was amazing, because I know that on one level that it's based on the streamlining of the body. But when I put him into the water, it was as if he just swam. The fish went down. He didn't go up.
Interesting.
You know, it was like he just swam right on down, and it was just the body that just kept on going down.
Wow.
But it was really interesting to watch.
Yeah, that is interesting. Aw, that's so good. Well, we're down to a minute on the show, and I had one more quote for the day. It said, "You cannot succeed by yourself. It's hard to be rich when you're a hermit." So you guys make my life rich, and I'm glad I'm not a hermit. So there you go. I just wanted to pass that along. So
I guess it just depends on which order you take that in, because if you look at the
And,
well, take care of you two.
Okay, thanks for hanging out and get your little leftovers going on there. And just to remind everybody again, we've got the time change this week, so make sure to you're going to gain an hour at 2 a.m. and it'll be 1 a.m. again. And just to go ahead and have a great week, and we look forward to catching you on next time at the cafe.
This has been another wonderful evening filled with lively and unusual dinner conversation and you. We are so glad you decided to join us. You make it special, and we are always happy to hear from you at Transformation Cafe. You can find out more about the people on our shows by clicking on our website, transformation-cafe.com, and checking out where all our other previous shows are available on demand. or here at Blog Talk Radio Transformation Cafe. If you are interested in appearing as a guest chef, you can email us at show@transformation-cafe.com. Thanks again. Travel well, and we will see you next time here at Transformation Cafe. Good night.